welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Well, Rod Dyson's my name, and I'm a member of the Seeds Uniting Church team, and it's great to be with you today. Well, last week, Jonathan started a new theme, and the idea was that it's possible for us to thrive during this time of COVID-19. He talked about relationships in particular, and this idea that we can stand firm in a shaky world. Now, you might have missed that, but you can go on to our website and you will find there our YouTube link, and you can watch the worship from last week, including Jonathan's sermon. I'm going to continue the theme of thriving today, of standing firm in a shaky world. But my focus is going to be on a different part of life. Let me start this way. So since the restrictions have been enforced, some things in our lives have stayed the same. For example, we're drinking the same amount of coffee.
Is that right?
Oh, thanks, Ethan.
There you go.
Is it a good one?
It's a good one.
It's a good one? Let me try. That's exactly how I like it. Thank you for that. So we're drinking the same amount of coffee, and you can probably think of some other things that have stayed the same as well. Some things have increased. The amount of internet used, the number of Zoom and online meetings, the consumption of some things like chocolate and alcohol, and maybe even food as well, and the wearing of casual and sports clothing during work hours. You might have seen those beautiful track pants a moment ago. The wearing of track pants has increased exponentially during the daylight hours. Some things have reduced. The amount of travel and commuting, obviously, and therefore the amount of petrol that we're using. Team sports have gone. Pollution has reduced. And for some people, of course, and some families, incomes have also dropped significantly. Some good things have happened. There's been a lot of family time, a lot of creative time. We live opposite the top of the Sturt Gorge Recreation Park, and we've noticed the number of walkers and joggers and cyclists has gone through the roof. Also, the amount of dog walking. There's so many happy dogs at the moment. The problem for us is our dog can see those dogs and turns around and glares at us. Why aren't I walking now? Now, changes to some of our routines have been forced on us, but we have made other changes ourselves. So the question I want to address this week is whether we can use this current time of isolation for good. In particular, could we go deeper during this time and come out better after the restrictions have been lifted? Let me explore that a bit. When life goes on the same for quite a long period of time, patterns emerge where we keep doing the same things without even thinking about what we're doing. A man called Anthony de Mello, a Jesuit priest, included a story called The Guru's Cat in his book, The Song of the Bird. The story goes like this. When the guru sat down to worship each evening, the ashram cat used to come in and disturb worship. So the guru said, tie up the cat. And so every night as worship started, someone tied up the cat. After the guru died, and presumably a new guru was appointed, they kept tying up the cat. And after the cat died, someone brought a new cat so it could be tied up during evening worship. And centuries later, treatises were written by the guru's disciples on the liturgical and religious significance of tying up a cat during worship. Now, of course, this is a type of parable that takes the situation to extremes. The truth is, though, that we can get into habits where the original reason for them is long forgotten, and they can prevent us from moving on and living in a way that would actually be better for us, more life-giving. We can become less focused, less intentional about what we're doing. We can just drift along. There's a short scene in Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland that goes like this. Alice asked the cat, "Would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?" And the cat says, "Well, that depends where you want to go." And Alice says, "Well, I don't care much where." And the cat replies, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go. As disciples, as followers of Jesus, it does matter which way we go. And we can use the current life circumstances to reevaluate our life's direction and move more in harmony with the Holy Spirit. And enforced change, like now, can clarify things and help us to reconsider life's directions and priorities. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote the book The Lord of the Rings. Now, we're familiar with that in three parts, and in the part called The Fellowship of the Ring, there is a conversation that really relates exactly to where we're at the moment. So Frodo, one of the hobbits, says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." And we might wish that COVID-19 didn't happen in our time or any time. "I wish it need not have happened in my time." "So do I," says Gandalf. "And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we need to decide is what to do with the time that has been given to us. We can decide what to do with this current season that has been given to us. We can choose to go deeper to come out better." Firstly, we can choose to focus more purposefully on God. Now, you might respond by saying, "Well, of course we do." The fact is, though, we can get so caught up with all manner of things, and before we know it, we've moved God off to the side. There's a story in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, about a rich farmer. His farm yields abundantly, and he wonders what to do with his crop. There is just so much of it that he can't store it. His decision is to tear down his old barns and build bigger ones. And then after he's stored all of his crop, he says, "Well, now I can take life easy. I can eat and drink and be merry." His choice is even to give up his focus as a farmer and just lay about. He's self-sufficient. He does not care about God. He doesn't care about anyone else. He has no thought for the poor who would love to have some of that surplus food that he has. He's so focused on being comfortable here and now that he ignores the bigger picture. The problem is he's still going to die, and he's not going to get the benefit of any of his hard work. And by focusing totally on his own comfort, he's excluded his relationship with God. And Jesus concludes the parable with these words: "This is how it will be with whoever stores things up for themselves, but is not rich toward God." There is an emptiness and a futility that comes into this man's life. And we can use this current time of isolation to put in patterns that will grow our richness toward God, patterns that will last long after our isolation has been removed. Let me give you an example from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. A man called Jacob has 12 sons. The youngest one, Joseph, is spoiled and privileged and superior beyond his position in his family. Jacob gives him a beautiful robe, and his brothers see it and know that he's loved more than they are. And so they hate Joseph and cannot speak nicely to him. And then Joseph has some dreams, and these dreams suggest that he would rise above his father and his brothers, and that they would even bow down to him, something totally against the customs of the time. So I can imagine that Joseph would have delighted to tell his brothers these dreams, because they confirmed that he was more special than they were. So they hated him even more, and they sold Joseph to some traders who took him to Egypt. The captain of the Pharaoh's guard buys Joseph, and God is still blessing Joseph, even with his bad behavior. And Joseph does well in his job. The captain notices it, promotes him, and God's blessing comes on the whole of that Egyptian household. Unfortunately, the captain's wife fancies Joseph. And when Joseph does the right thing and refuses her advances, She dobs on him and he ends up in jail. Joseph has a period of enforced isolation in an Egyptian prison, and there was probably no toilet paper there at all. God is still with him, and the jailer trusts Joseph with some of the work of the prisoners. And despite Joseph's original self-importance, some more positive habits begin to appear during his isolation. Now, instead of being focused on himself and how special he is, Joseph actually begins to notice how some of the other prisoners are going. Are they going well? Are they going badly? Are they troubled? Now, some of you will know that Joseph also was able to interpret dreams, and he helps Pharaoh to see it's going to be 7 good years followed by 7 bad years. And Joseph's put in charge of storing the grain for the good years to prepare for those bad years ahead. And that stored grain ends up saving both the people of Egypt and his own family. Now, you can imagine that by now Joseph's brothers are deeply concerned that they sold Joseph into slavery. Joseph is so powerful that he could do anything to them, including putting them in jail. But something else happened when Joseph was in isolation. As he reflected on what happened to him, he comes to a conclusion the brothers did not expect. Joseph tells his brothers the conclusion, and it's this: you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Now, of course, God has not caused COVID-19 or our isolation, but God can use this time to change who we are in a way that benefits us and those around us. Time and time again, we find stories in Scripture where isolation changes people. The isolation can take them deeper so that they can come out better. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Now is a time to trust in God. Now is a time to stay focused on God, even in this time when so many things are not available to us. So my first point is that you can choose how you approach this unusual time, and you can use it to go deeper to come out better. My second point is just to take that a bit further and to say it's actually your responsibility to go deeper with Jesus. Our church community can do a number of things, and it's investing a lot of staff time doing that. Things like this online worship and pastoral phone calls and regular communication. And I know many of you are visiting people or dropping meals or ringing people up. But each of us is still responsible for our relationship with Jesus. It is our responsibility to continue to be a follower of Jesus in these different times. So I urge you, stay connected in worship via Seeds Online. I urge you to be part of a small group, whether that's a video format or a phone format. I urge you to encourage one another. Hebrews 10 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some other habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Well, we can't meet face to face, but we can telephone, we can Facebook, we can Zoom, and it's our responsibility to do that. You know, I urge you to read the Scriptures and to listen to them, to hear God's particular word for you during this time. You know, have you thought about asking God, is there something you want to say to me today? Have you thought about paying attention to God's presence, to leaning into God and to walking in the way of God, the way that God's prepared for you? It'll change not only you, but those around you. You know, the Scriptures are really clear that very ordinary people, even very bad people, can hear God's voice. We can all hear God's voice if we want to, if we make time to listen. We can go deeper to come out better. And God will speak to you about your work, about your relationships, about your character, about every aspect of life. And God will always have your well-being in mind. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the younger leader, Timothy, he said the final goal of his teaching was love, issuing from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. Paul said to Timothy, be an example to all the believers in the way you speak, in the way you behave, and in your love, your faith, and your purity. And be an example literally means put your stamp on people. To achieve this, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. So Timothy is urged to watch his life. That is how he lives, his routines and his habits. He's urged to watch his doctrine, what he believes, to think deeply about that. He's urged to watch his love, the characteristics of his personal relationships. He's urged to watch his faith, his relationship with God. He's urged to watch his purity, the quality of his moral life. Paul is urging Timothy to examine his life, and he urges us to do the same. Take this time now to allow the Spirit to grow you deeper and more like Jesus, so that you will come out better. We have a choice. It's our responsibility. C.S. Lewis said, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. That is the gift of this most unusual time in our lives. Let us pray together. Faithful and forgiving God, we love you. We find ourselves in a strange place. We hope and pray for an end to COVID-19. And God, we also pray that you would do your work in us, grow us into the likeness of Christ, help us to leave behind all that burdens us and to take on the unforced rhythms of grace that will bring us life and hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.